gorgeous.
And gabbing.
Gabbing. I couldn't remember the last one. That's what we're doing today on the Green Tea Podcast. Welcome.
Hi.
Hey.
We're so happy to be here. Boy, do we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
A lot of different things going on in our lives right now. Faith, maybe we should start with what you said.
Yeah, I want us to do our what's our cup of tea lately?
Yeah, yeah. What are we sipping on?
Yeah, because we haven't done it in a while, and I feel like we've all been sipping.
Yeah,
we've been having a sampler, a little tea, a flight of teas.
For sure. Feel like. Also, we're not sipping tea today.
We're not. I just realized that too.
No, me too.
We're actually not drinking any green tea at this moment, and that feels crazy.
Yeah, illegal.
But here we are, I guess.
But at least we'll be metaphorically sipping.
Mm-hmm.
So, and do you have something ready to go?
I do, actually.
Okay, go for it.
So, lately, I've been sipping on Adele's full discography.
Yeah.
So good. Because I feel like I've always listened to, like, all her big stuff because it's on the radio all the time. And, like, it's just everywhere because she's such a phenomenon. But I was listening to music the other day. And, like, when I'm at work, I listen to music because I'm mostly just, like, stalking things right now. And so I don't really have to, like, interact with people. And I can just, like, have my earbuds in and it's fine. And so I was listening to something. I don't remember what. And then it ended. And you know how Spotify will just play other stuff.
Yes.
And so it played an Adele song that I'd never heard before off of her first album that I really liked. And I was like, this is so good. I was like, why haven't I ever listened to every single Adele song ever.
That happens every time I hear a new Adele song.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait,
she's never missed in her life. That's the other thing too, is that like when you listen to all her songs, it's like actually any single one of the songs on her albums like could be a single and could be like a breakout hit.
Mm-hmm.
Like every single song. There's this one on I think it's on 21 and it's called Sweetest Devotion. I don't know if you guys know that one, but it's so good. And I can't believe that wasn't like a single. Like it would have taken the world by storm, to be honest.
Yeah.
Which not that any of her other singles haven't done that already, but that one also would have.
Yeah.
Good.
I agree. She's
so fabulous. She's
special in that way.
She is special in that way.
She just doesn't miss.
She doesn't. No one does a piano ballad like her.
I'm trying to think of like who else I have like that's like someone that I'm like, you could pick any song and it's like gonna be a good song.
Oh,
I guess Ariana, but even her, I have some that I wouldn't.
It's like, yeah, and it's like, it's very different.
Yeah.
You can like love
some people are just classic song makers.
Yes, she is.
Yeah.
She is that for sure.
I think we should all do sipping on before you go into what you're spitting out.
Okay. I don't think I had one for spitting out. I think I was just thinking about things that I was sipping on.
You better start thinking about what you're spitting on.
Okay, cool. I better start being a hater.
Yeah, literally.
Okay.
You better start hating.
Okay, let me find it.
Let me add negativity to my life.
The other things I've been sipping on is a couple of books. Rose and Thomas and I, like last week, I think, went to the library.
No, it was like 2 weeks ago.
It was?
They're due on the 30th.
Yeah, they are due on the 30th.
So like,
it's coming up, huh?
Ago.
Anyway, so we went to the library and I checked out 4 books, which was very ambitious of me because I've read 1.5 of them.
I've read half of mine.
Nice.
Half of one.
Half of one, yeah. But the book that I just read is called Liar, Dreamer, Thief by Maria Dong. And it was so good.
Really?
The premise of it is like, it's this woman and she like has some kind, it's not like named like this, but she clearly has some kind of OCD or some kind of like compulsive like thoughts and stuff like that. And it's really fascinating because it's a lot about like, oh, she has to do these rituals to like feel safe, and it's a lot of like that kind of like compulsion.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting to read, but she also kind of has like this like fantasy world that she kind of like escapes into a lot, and like a lot of times it's like it'll happen without her choosing to like go into it, and so it like really affects her life.
Yeah.
And, like, the whole story is that she has this, like, obsession with her coworker. And it's not romantic and it's not, like, physical or anything like that. But she's just, like, fascinated by him. And she, like, can't not, like, pay attention to him. And, like, she is kind of, like, stalking him. And it is freaky. But it's also, like, yeah, she, like, can't stop. And then, like, and also this is in the book jacket, so I'm not spoiling anything. But he, like, eventually, like, they end up on this bridge, and he jumps off, and he kills himself, and he basically tells her, like, it's your fault.
Damn.
Oh, my gosh.
And, like alluding that, like, he knew that she was, like, watching him and, like, you know, stalking him and everything, right? And so after that, she's like, oh, my God. Like, he knew that I was, like, you know, paying attention to him, and, like, she kind of finds it, like, he's kind of also been watching her back, and, like, all this weird stuff is going on. And, like, the way everything is so tangled throughout the whole book.
I love that.
Is so interesting and fascinating. And there was a point, like, towards the end where it's not that there's a twist necessarily, but everything just gets way more intense in the span of, like, two pages. And I'm like, whoa, whoa. And there's, like, so many different things that, like, it was hard to hold it all in my brain at the same time. But it was wrapped up very satisfyingly. Nice. And like, questions were answered, which I appreciate. Because sometimes books are just like, and we never knew.
Yeah.
And that's it. And we still don't know. And I kind of hate that. Yeah. I want to know. But it was great. I highly recommend it. I rated it 4 stars.
Ooh, not even more than that?
No. 4 stars is really good.
Yeah. Did you go to the library looking for that book, or did you just find it?
Yeah, I just found it. Because when we went, I hadn't, there weren't any books that I was, like, specifically looking for. I just went to the fiction section and was like, what looks cool? Mm-hmm. And it had a cool cover. Yeah. And I picked it up and read the inside, and I was like, yeah, that sounds good.
Perfect.
This one.
Well, I love that.
Judging a book by its cover.
Always. Yeah. I'm always going to judge a book by... Have you guys seen that guy on TikTok who designs book covers?
No.
Yes.
I'm obsessed with him.
I'm obsessed with him,
I
too.
I love his work.
He does
and
so
every time,
good.
He does such great work. He's an artist, for real. And it's so terrible watching his videos, because he gives you, like, these three gorgeous, beautiful... works of art, and then he's like, and then the publisher said they didn't really like it,
and
so they wanted me
no
to do this
to every single
and then
thing.
He's like, and this is what the publisher chose, and it is the most mundane book that you've ever seen in your life, that you would pass by on a Target bookshelf and not give a second glance to. And I'm like, I am so sorry that your artwork is not being appreciated by these publishers,
and
because
he, I feel
you
like that's
amazing,
like, my
work.
Dream job.
Absolutely.
If I could figure out digital art and, like, somehow have the creative
Rose,
mind
you
that
should.
He does.
Rose, you should work at it too, though, because, like, sometimes things like that, like, a lot of artistic and creative things, like, people have talent in, but it's nothing that can't be learned either.
Yeah.
You know? Like, if you
That's
really
so
wanted
cool.
to, you could probably do it.
Okay, I'll do it right now.
Yeah. And also, you are very creative and talented, so, like, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, that was
so
my
So you're
little,
sipping on the book
I'm
you just
on
finished.
The book I just finished. And then I just started this other book, which is also kind of, like, magical realism kind of vibes. I'm only, like, maybe like a third of the way into it right now. I'm not very far, but it's about this girl, and it's in, like, 19th century Scotland, and she, like, can kind of see the future a little bit, and she, like, lives on this farm and with her grandparents, and right now not much has happened yet, like, plot wise but the fascinating part is that she can, like, see the future, so we're getting there. I'm only just in the beginning of it, but I think the writing style is really beautiful. It's called The Road to Belhaven. And Ooh. Yeah, the writing is very pretty, and I'm very drawn in, and I can't wait to see what happens. But yeah, that was one of my other library books.
Love.
So that's what I'm sipping on, is library books.
Good.
Yeah, really good, Love. Right?
For me, we were just singing espresso, and
yes.
I feel like Sabrina has, I've been sipping on her for a while, but recently, ever since espresso came out, everyone's like, have you heard the song? Or let me play this song. If we're hanging out, it's like, okay, I know a song that we can play.
Yeah.
And it's like every time.
I know a song we can
yeah,
play.
Yeah, everyone has the same, like, oh my God, have you heard of Sabrina?
Yes.
Kind of like essence. Ugh. But shout out to Jackie, because I feel like she was the first one on it.
and you went to see
my
her
circle,
live. Like,
and we saw her live. We saw her perform at the Wiltern, which is an amazing show.
Yeah.
So shout out to her. I'm like, watching her become a pop superstar.
She
watching
is.
Her every move.
I was thinking about that today, because I think that she has the makings of such a pop queen.
Absolutely.
Like, I think that her, like, her image, like, stylistically and, like, visually, so good, just so pop.
Yeah.
And she's so cute and fun, and her songs are so bouncy and catchy, and, like, still.
And so also, like, flirty
and still
sexy
clever.
And
yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm like, yes.
Mm-hmm.
She's so clever, and, like, yeah, she's a lyricist for sure. So I can't wait for her to be the pop girly, which I feel like she kind of is already,
kind of
but
is
I can't
there.
Wait for her to just be that more.
Mm-hmm. I feel like
future.
I've also been sipping on Sabrina. I've
yeah.
been listening
yeah.
to her album.
Me and Thomas were like, Rose, you need to listen to Sabrina's album.
Yeah.
I think, when
months,
did Espresso come out?
Ago.
Like a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, literally like right before Coachella weekend one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Cause I can't remember if we told you to listen to it before it came out or after, but
Espresso?
No, 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 no. Just
the
Sabrina.
Album?
Yeah.
No, 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 no. I'm saying
we told you to listen to
her album.
Yeah, a while ago.
I don't
ago,
remember
though.
If it was before Espresso came out or
it was
after.
Before
I
Espresso.
Think before.
It was a while ago.
I think I've been wanting you to listen to it for a while because I knew you would like it.
Yeah.
And then Espresso came out and I was like, yeah, you just need to
Emails I Can't Send is very, very good.
Emails I Can't Send. Mwah. Great album.
Also, a lot of the songs I like already know just through like TikTok and hearing them.
Yeah, that's true.
So it also like is pretty familiar.
Okay, good, good, good.
Anything else you're sipping on?
And also, Cowboy Carter, probably I'm still sipping on. I've been watching just people reacting to all the new girly stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm keeping an eye on the pop girlies this summer, this spring summer.
Absolutely.
All right, Eros?
I've been sipping on Sonic Happy Hour Diet Coke.
Yeah, you have.
And like literally sipping on it and also just like act like figuratively sipping on it. Like it's been so fun to go get it after work because when I get off of work, it's happy hour at Sonic.
Oh.
And it's like kind of on the way to my parents' house. So it's been so fun to just grab a giant giant Diet Coke for like a dollar or two.
Nice.
So I've been sipping on Diet Coke. I've also been sipping on just like getting organized. I feel like maybe it's just spring cleaning mode that I'm in, but
that's good. That's a good way
been
to be
trying to like make more dinners at home and stay on top of chores and organize finances and all that good stuff, but like in a fun way.
Yeah.
What are you spitting out?
Well, I was gonna say we can segue because I don't know if I have necessarily anything that I'm spitting out, but we could go into Rose wants us to talk about our pet peeves.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
I feel like this is a great
that.
Time to do
sure.
that. I think I have a couple. I'm trying to like remember because I've been Rose brought this up a while ago. She was like, guys, think about your pet peeves because I want to talk about them.
Yeah.
And I feel like I keep thinking of good ones, but I haven't like written them down or anything. So I am like, what did I say? Well, I can think of a couple right now.
Okay, go for it.
Because I also worked today. So I work in retail. And so customers
are my pet peeves.
That's it. So like one of them is that like, so I work in a shop, right? And like towards the back of the shop, there's like sort of a narrow walkway where there's like a bunch of jewelry and cases and stuff. And it's like kind of narrow. And my pet peeve is when people stop right in like the entryway to that hallway and like park themselves right in the middle of it. And then I can't get through because I'm like, girl, I need to get through.
Just spatial awareness.
Just spatial awareness. Yeah. That's it. The lack of spatial awareness is my pet peeve. Or sometimes like I'll be.
I wrote that down.
You wrote that down? Period. Like sometimes it'll be I'm trying to like, you know, weave through the store to get to where I need to go with whatever I'm doing. And people will like walk out in front of me or they're walking really slow and taking up the whole walkway so I can't get around them. Sometimes this one's like really specific, but it just like bothers me. It's like sometimes people will be like browsing around like a table or something and they're walking like into the path or like out into like more of where traffic is and they're just like looking at the table still, like looking at whatever they're looking at, but they're still moving. And so it's like, whoa, car crash. Like, can you guys watch what you're doing when you're moving around?
Yeah.
The other one is like sometimes if I'm like trying to backstock something, like I have to go put it out in the cupboards or whatever, and someone is standing exactly where I need to be to go put it away. Oh my gosh. Like, yeah. That one's irrational because it's like, yeah, they're shopping. Like, they're here to shop. But it's like, why did you have to be exactly where I need to be right now? Because what am I going to do? Sit there with all my stuff in my arms waiting for you to move? That's annoying. I don't want to do that.
I do that, yeah.
I don't know. I can't. I'm like, because I just can't stand there.
If someone's
there
trying
like
to grab coffee and it's clearly empty and I'm standing behind them with an urn of coffee, I'll just stand there waiting for it until they kind of notice.
Oh, well, that's just obnoxious and you're
people
valid for that.
People have bad spatial awareness at my job, too, which is kind of hard because it's big.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't think it would
that's
be an issue.
Funny.
But people come up and order their coffee.
Yeah. And then they stand there.
Don't move.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there is a line to the door.
Literally.
Can you please just step to the side?
Like, why do you do that? They do that at the cafe next to my work, too, which is funny because it's tiny in there actually, so it's like, oh, if you keep standing at the register, no one can get by you. Yeah. And also the next person can't get to the register because you're standing in front of the register. It's actually crazy. I'm like, guys. Or like sometimes like they'll move over to wait, but then they'll like kind of like scooch in closer to that spot than whoever was there before them, and it's like, girly pop, your drink is not coming out before the person ahead of you.
Yeah.
It's just not. There's two people behind there and they're going in order of when they received it. And I know that because I have common sense.
One day, a guy, not one day, like a few days ago, this guy came up and he's like, did you guys call for like Joe yet? And my, oh my God. Manager's like, no, not yet. Like, it's coming up. And he was like, okay, well, people who were behind me got their drink already.
Did they?
And we were like, well, I mean, I don't think we said anything else. Like, I think he just walked away. But we were like, we literally get the tickets in order that they're rung up. Yeah. So like, no, they didn't. First of all, no, they didn't.
No, they didn't.
And also, even if they did, I'm sure that means your drink is also like coming right up.
Yeah,
right?
I was going to say.
If
or it's like, oh, maybe they had a tea and all you had to do was pour some water in it, bro. Like, I don't know. Think,
that's
one, think that one through,
like,
maybe.
Give it a second.
Yeah.
And also, if we said it's right here, that means that it's right here.
Yeah.
That means that your drink is like next. So calm down a little bit.
No, literally. Oh my God. This whole morning. Like, everybody was kind of on one. Like, there were like,
today?
Yeah, really? There were like three customers that were just either, like, if they weren't rude, they were just weird. And if they weren't weird, they were just rude. I was like, can you guys, like, maybe chill a little bit? Like, one of the first interactions I had with a customer, and like, I didn't think of anything of it, but I was like walking back and like this guy like comes out of where he was standing and he was like, excuse me, like, are you sales? And which is a weird question to ask. Like, I've never gotten asked that question specifically, but I kind of like knew where it was going, and I was like, oh no, sorry, like, if you have a question, like, you can go over to the counter and like they'll be able to help you. And he's like, okay. And then I walked away, and then I was in the back, and my one of my coworkers, who's also like doing stock and merchandising, came back, and she was like, I just had such a rude customer. And I was like, I know exactly who you're talking about, because I was like, that's why he asked, is because he had already cornered her, and she was like, I'm not in sales. And so he had been so rude to her.
Yeah.
And I think probably the reason he wasn't to me is because I was just like, oh, talk to them. Bye. Mm-hmm. And apparently what happened is that she is like doing her job, right? And this guy like comes up to her and he's like, hi. And she's like, hi. And he's like, I'm not saying hi because I'm wanting to say hi. I'm saying hi because I need help. And it's like, okay, let's just dial it down.
No, let's
like
take a
8 degrees.
Back.
No, can we actually take a step back,
God forbid,
turn around,
says
come
hi back,
back, try that again. Also, what was she supposed to say? Hi, what can I do for you? Like, can you just, she said hi, she acknowledged you, so now you can ask your question. Yeah. I don't know why he needed to be rude about it. And then she's like, what did she say? I think she was just like, at that point, she was like, oh, I don't want to talk to you, obviously. And I think she was just like, oh, like, he was like, or yeah, like, do you work here? And she was like, yes. And he's like, okay, can you like help me with this or whatever? And she's like, no, actually, I'm not in sales. So you can go over there and ask at the counter, which actually is crazy because then when I passed by, he hadn't gone to the counter to ask. So I don't know why he stopped me thinking that he was going to get help when it's like she told him what to do and where to go.
Yeah.
Whatever. And then it was actually so awesome because I talked to my coworker that I saw like helping him because she hadn't seen either of those exchanges. But she was like, I was like, did you see that guy? Like, did you have to deal with him? And she was like, yeah, I was rude to him. I was like, good, he deserved it because this, and this. And she hadn't like seen any of that. She was like, oh, good, he was rude to me too. And I was like, yeah, he just was having a kind of, he must have been having a day, I guess. But it's also like, let's take a deep breath and behave like the grown man that you are, you know? It's so sad.
Thomas, you wrote down some pet peeves.
Mm-hmm. You didn't write any down?
I have some on my phone. But also, like, I have a few that, like...
so you wrote down some, too.
But I didn't think you actually would.
Oh, period.
Which, I want to hear what you have written down.
Yeah, I want to hear what you have because...
I have two that are kind of similar that I'll start with. The first one was people on their phones when you're hanging out. Like, when, like, your friends don't respect your time. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is phone calls in public, like strangers not respecting the space. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
When a customer's on
when a customer's
phone,
on the phone and then they come up to
when
talk
they
to you?
Come up...
Yeah.
And that makes me want to die, actually, because I've had people do that where they like come up and they're on the phone and it's like, girl, I have questions I need to ask. Like, this is not a conversationless interaction. Like, I need to know what's going on. It's I hate it.
I have gotten good at rationalizing it in the sense that I'm like, maybe they're on an important call or something. But my side of it is at this point, I'm just like, okay, if you get your order wrong, you get it wrong. Like, at this point, I'm just going to take it at my speed. Like, what's your name? If you're not responding to me, I won't write down a name. I'll wait until you're like,
no,
what else do I need to do? And,
yeah.
And then I'll be like, oh, can I get your name?
Good.
So I've gotten good at it, but it is my pet peeve.
Yeah, it is still annoying. Like, I know how to handle it, but it's also like, don't make me handle it.
Yeah. Also, like, full grown adults that are coming in and just like chatting on the phone. Like, there wasn't even a line. Like, it wasn't like, oh, let me fill the time. It was like, you were on the phone call. You got out of your car. You walked into the coffee shop. You walked up to the person at the register and you still didn't say anything.
That's like, so crazy.
And they're because still the having that, the conversation.
Yeah,
and
I'd be like, okay, I gotta go. Like, yeah. What? Yeah. No, it's crazy to me. It's also like, hey, guess what?
Back in 5 minutes.
Yeah. Or also, I can text you, girl. That's what texts are for. I don't know. People are crazy.
I hate that.
I hate it.
Thomas agreed.
Well, I meant writing down, like, or I just wrote down, like, when people are, like, in the dining room, like, eating by themselves, talking out loud.
Well, that's disrespectful of the space because other people are around.
100%. Or if people walk into, like, any sort of, like, store, like a Target, just walking around yelling on their phone. I hate that.
I think it's that. It's, like, when it's very much like, even if I don't have to interact with you and
I shouldn't have to be listening to your conversation.
That's
too.
It, yeah. I feel like I have a specific one, which is, and this one maybe is, like, maybe I can be sympathetic, but often, like, folks of a certain age will come in and their phones will ring and it's so loud because they can't hear it if it's not that loud, but then they still don't hear it or they don't know how to turn it off, and then it rings for minutes on end before they either answer it or figure out how to shut it off. Yeah. And I'm like, I need you to put it on vibrate.
You know if there's a vibrate.
No, literally. And then you can
feel
that.
They won't hear or feel that one either.
No. But they get it. They put it in their pocket.
Oh, I usually hear it with people who have it in their bag.
Yeah.
And then you have to find it.
Yeah. And it's like, oof. This
there's
is rough.
Gotta be a better.
There's
system.
Gotta be a better way. Okay, keep going, Thomas.
No, you go ahead, Rose. You do the next one.
Okay, my main thing, the whole thing, why I wanted to talk about pet peeves.
Oh, I love. Oh, yeah.
This is a work thing, also. I cannot stand when people have a bad day, and they bring it into work. Like, if you're having a bad day, just take a minute. Just go to the back, get some water. Chillax, and then come back to the floor like level-headed. Because when you are having a rough day and you come in and you are short with everybody that's on the staff and you are not telling people what to do or you're being rude about stuff, you're literally making the whole staff feel weird. You're making us like not have a good day, and it's simply because what, you're tired?
Yeah.
Because, like, one time I got into a car accident on the way to work.
You did.
And I still was fine. And I still had a good day and whatever. Yeah.
I also think that you have a very, like, respectable ability to not let outside, like, forces dampen your mood.
Yes.
In a way.
That's
like,
true.
In an external way. You
but
know
I
what I mean?
I also think that there have been other times where I've really not had a good day.
Sure.
Like, I make it a priority to not bring that into work.
Yeah.
And I also find it a lot of times that men do this, and Thomas and I have talked about this before, because Thomas said that he's had the experience that a lot of women bring in their problems to work. But in my experience personally, I found that a lot of girls maybe have an issue and they'll like talk about it and we'll like talk through it and figure it out, and then that's the end of it. But if a guy has a problem, he is not gonna talk about it, and he's just gonna be snappy.
It's just gonna be
or
attitude, yeah.
Short with everybody the whole day, or not gonna talk to you. And I'm just like,
yeah,
come on. Like, this is like, we're all adults. Everybody is in their like mid-20s, mid to late 20s at where I work. And I'm like, you are a grown man, and you're just like being sassy for what?
I feel like I can see both sides of that, because I feel like I've had experiences with like, because I think you're right. I think like men and women both bring their problems into work and their outside lives into work, because like, how can you not at some level, you know, like there's going to be bleed over. But I do feel like if I notice that one of my like coworkers who's a woman like is in a bad mood, it's like, oh, we're just going to like if we're tight, it's like, yeah, we'll talk through it and like that'll help and like be fine. I feel like it's never like they've brought a bad attitude to work and like need to like bring down the place. But I also have had experiences with male coworkers where they have to make it everyone else's problem and not just theirs. And not in like a productive, like, I just need to talk through this and like get it out. It's always just like, I'm in a bad mood and I'm gonna make
therefore,
it everybody else's
everybody
problem.
Everybody else also has to be in a bad mood.
And that's not like universal. Like, I work with men now that don't do that, but it's also like, it has been a common theme that I have found. But yeah, I don't know.
So that's just what I think. I think if you're having a rough day, either talk about it, take a second to yourself, whatever.
Yeah, because I think it's
but
also...
please don't take it out on your coworkers.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, it's also... it's possible to, like, be in, like, not the best of moods at work and still, like...
there's a middle ground.
Do what you need to do and not like, hurt other people.
Exactly. There's a neutral. You don't have to be overly joyous.
Yeah. No, that's the thing, is I feel like I don't want anyone to, like, have to feel like... especially, it's hard, like... all of our jobs involve a lot of customer service, so there is a lot of like put on a smile, and we have a lot of coworkers that it's like you do kind
of
need to like you know, put on a happy face and do what you need to do. But I also think it's important to just be like, yeah, you don't need to exert yourself and like force a good mood. Just exactly. Like, you know, do what you need to do to like get your tasks done. And also I've also worked in like, you know, nice enough environments that like my coworkers are usually very like are good people. And yeah. So if I'm having like a rough time, they'll check in with me and like I can be like, yeah, I just need to go like tag stuff in the back for a bit and like yeah. not talk to people, or like I just need to like restock this instead of like counting.
You can't be on register. You don't want to talk. Yeah, to them. Like okay, exactly. Let us know.
Yeah,
you know,
because that's the other thing about jobs. It's like it's never just one job. Yeah. So like you can kind of make your day work for you and do something that
so that was
is not
my,
gonna
yeah.
be crazy for
that
everybody.
Was my main thing.
Yeah,
yeah. I've seen a lot of both men and women.
Yeah.
Make. You know, their mood affect everybody. But so I don't think it's ever I don't think I've ever really seen a pattern with either one or the other, because I've seen both.
Really?
Yeah, a lot. And oh my God, I would love to say names and have like everybody that I work with like hear what they have to say about
one
it too.
Person at my work who's been doing it a lot yeah. recently within the past few weeks, and I'm like.
But I mean, and in my like job training stuff too, they're like they tell us that we have to have control of the environment and stuff. So it's like. Hard, but I do think that I'm like pretty good at like if someone's in a bad mood, I can like console everyone else while also like yeah. being the person that I can pull out of them and like just be like, yeah, say what you have to say out loud with me so that way mm-hmm. you can get out of your system
well,
a little bit more.
As yeah. a manager, you have more control over the situation.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
And the person who's doing this is one of my managers.
yeah.
well, one of them. No, the last time I had an issue, it was also a manager.
Oh, T.
But like, yeah, I think that makes sense. And that's cool that you like think about that and you're like, what can I do to help this person individually? And what can I tell the rest of my staff mm-hmm. to just be like, hey, take it easy on them or whatever,
yeah.
you know? Like, that's mm-hmm. cool.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, if someone else has a bad day, hold on, what was I going to say? Consoling them. Oh, and I also try to like, I've gotten better at realizing that like some people when they're in their bad mood, it's like that is their best today. Like that's the best that they could be today. Yeah. Like they are trying their best.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I think that I've also gotten good at, especially if a customer's in a bad mood, I'm like, girl, just give her whatever she needs to get out of here
yeah.
so that she can go on and continue like, you know,
that's
figuring
really
out
real.
Her own day.
That's really real. Yeah. yeah.
So it's I've gotten good at
we're
also
not trying to justify each other's pet peeves, guys. Just be like, yeah, Rose, that sucks. Let's move
sorry.
On.
Sorry. Okay, no, yeah, you're right. You're right.
Don't make me sympathetic. Listen, we're starting conversations. Isn't that what this is all about? It's a podcast?
Yeah, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah,
is
whatever.
Is your pet peeve that we're not listening to you right now?
You're not giving me what I know.
Yeah,
that's fine.
No.
You're right.
Yeah.
But these people,
have you ever,
it's a problem when it's a consistent thing.
Have you ever had, like, a bad day at work, like, that you couldn't, like, not turn it off or whatever?
I did, and my boss sent me home.
Period.
yeah, <that's laughs> I showed up to work, and I had had like a really bad morning, and I showed up to work, and I think I was opening that day maybe. And I was like doing my, you know, like tasks, my checklist or whatever. And my supervisor came over, and like, I think I just like, I didn't have my usual like energy that I usually do. And she was like, hey, like, is everything okay? Immediate waterworks,
yeah.
like immediately. And she was like, oh my God. And so mm-hmm. we like sat down. I like, choked out like what was going on and like cried for a bit, and then she was like, hey, I think you should like don't worry about it. And
yeah.
I felt bad because it was just there were only three of us in to like open that day, and then like the next people weren't in for like out staffing at that place was really not
yeah.
not
yeah.
not great. So I was like, I feel so bad, like it's just gonna be you guys. And she was like, no, like don't worry about it, like we'll
yeah.
figure it out, we'll be fine, you need to go home. So I appreciated that.
I don't know, I feel like the only time I've ever been sent home is if I was like sick.
Mm. Well, maybe not sent home, but like.
Yeah, but the only like things I can think of where I've had like a really bad day is A, the car accident.
Yes.
Which I didn't get
That'll
sent
do it.
Home. I took like 10 minutes to myself to stop crying.
Aww,
and then
Rose.
Went to work. And then another time when we were going to Joshua Tree, like 2-ish years ago, a year and a half ago, whatever. Remember, I couldn't get that shift covered, and I asked every single person possible, and I asked people to trade with me. So I had to get off work at 5:30, and we ended up leaving from here at like 6 at night, and we hit traffic and stuff.
Oh, I whatever. Do remember that.
So
I do
that
remember that.
Sucked
because okay.
I had literally
yeah,
tried everything
you
to
tried.
Get out of that shift, and I didn't call out, but like I just closed early. Like,
yeah.
I just closed like we're supposed to clock out at 5:30. We clocked out at 5:02.
Period.
Like, I just did everything super fast.
Yeah.
And then another time, my grandma was in the hospital and my parents were gone. So I was the main contact
from
the hospital. So that sucked. But I didn't, like, have a bad day and, like, take it out on people. I just had to, like, go outside and talk to doctors sometimes.
Yeah.
You know? So I feel like I don't think I've ever had a day where I also feel... Yeah, it also I'm also just, like, not in a bad mood that often.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're also just, like, a cheerful person. Yeah. So I don't think this is an issue, like, you have.
Yeah. Me, personally, if I'm having, like, a really bad day, work would be good for me. Because I'd be like, let me go hang out with my friends. Yeah. And let me go make coffee and ring people up and not worry about my own things.
Yeah, and but you're, like, busy also, I feel like.
If I stayed home in bed all day when I was having a bad day, I'd, like, die probably.
Yeah.
My heart would probably stop.
Sure.
Like, if I'm having a good day, that's when I want to stay home and, like, calm down and get things done.
But yeah.
If I'm having a bad day, get me out of the house.
Well, because you're definitely, like, you're definitely on the extroverted side of, like, you need to be with, you need to be with other people to, like, you know, feel good and, like, work through things. And so I think that's also, like, not everyone's like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, where I don't want to be when I'm having a bad day? Work.
And I also think that you have a good, like, work environment. I think you're doing something that you enjoy. And also you have a lot of people there that are, like, cool that you like being around. Yeah. So I think, like, those, all of those things, I think also contribute to you not being worried about bringing a bad mood
into work. Think about it, like, I come into work to, like, get energy and hang out with people.
Yeah.
And then somebody's being short with me.
Yeah.
I'm like, grow up.
Absolutely.
I'm here to have fun. I'm here to work. I'm here to clean counters.
Rose at a reality TV show. I did come here to make friends.
Yeah, literally.
Actually, I came here to make friends.
I came here to hang out.
Some people went to make money, to be honest.
Yeah, no, that's
some people went to clock in, clock out.
Yeah.
So that's crazy. I get a paycheck. I'm like, what's this?
Yeah.
What's this?
Oh my God, surprise.
Okay, I have another one ready to go unless you want to go, Thomas.
I'll do my next one. I put people on their high horse who look down on others. And I also wrote that about music, like having a complex about music. Mm-hmm. And I messaged, or I put
you
it on my Instagram. Yeah, my Instagram story. And everyone was like, who is this about? And I was like, I'm just watching, like, album reactions.
You just said everyone.
I was,
if the shoe fits.
Yeah, literally. But
you
I think
other
that
people, like, saying that they have a better music taste than
I was gonna say, go into detail, share your feelings.
Like, one coworker specifically, I was talking to them about this, because it's like, when people say, like, I have the best music taste, to me that just says that you don't want to listen to other music choices or kind, or, like, categories or genres, or
even if they say that they listen to everything, I'm like,
it's like, no, okay, well,
can I be honest? I don't think I've ever heard anyone say that they have the best.
Really?
I've heard so many people
that's
say that.
A very common thing, I feel like.
I feel like I've heard people say, like, they have good music taste.
Oh, no,
and
no,
I think
no,
that's
no.
different.
People have very, like, their complex is music. I, like, hear music so deeply, and it's that kind of a person who's, like, like, don't get me wrong, I also feel that way, but it's just, like,
It's the feeling of
the idea that, like, everybody feels emotional when they listen to
you're
music.
You're understanding the music more than every other person.
Yeah. Like,
I think there's definitely people like that.
And those are the kinds of people usually that I feel like I always hear saying that they have the best music taste, and they have whatever their opinion is on, like, especially pop music is so, like, you know, it's just, it's a watered down opinion of, like, well, because I understand what my artist is going through, I think that their music is better. When in reality, I think, well, on one hand, I also think all art is valid, which can be a little bit, like, cringy and
gross. Well,
I just
think it's so subjective. How can you say that your taste is the best?
It is. And I do think that some artists are just better.
So that's valid.
So there is, like, maybe, like, a little hierarchy, but I don't think that it's not comparable.
No, I think it's a lot of both. I think it's a lot of, like, okay, like, this artist's vocals are better than this artist's vocals, or like, this artist's lyrics are better than this art. Like, I think there are things that can be sort of categorized in that way, but again, it's also so subjective, because something that's better to one person is not better to another. So I do feel like there's a lot of, like, this is objectively, like, really beautiful music, and then there's also, like, this is something that speaks to me, like, regardless of how it impacts the greater music industry or other people.
And I've
people
had
listening.
Such, like, a history, I think, of people, like, disliking any of the music choices that I like that aren't just radio music, like, especially musical theater music or anything from, like, video games too. It's always like, oh, well, you don't realize how much work that other people put into like their projects and stuff, that it's like, when I do hear someone say like, oh, well, I don't really like respect or like their music or their, you know, on other tastes. Mm-hmm. It's like, you're probably very close-minded, actually.
Yeah, and I completely agree.
And I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to keep an eye on your judgment from now on.
I think that's so true, because I do feel like there's a lot of people. Yeah. I think definitely in that way, I feel like there's a lot of like dismissal of art that isn't mainstream in some ways. And so I do feel like that's like something that I've talked about too, because I think we've had this conversation before, because I feel like I show you like songs that I listen to all the time. Like, I'm kind of like, both me and my friend Daphne, and I feel like I've picked up more of it from her too. It's the opposite of gatekeeping your interests. It's like, you're going to like what I like. You're going to sit down with me and we're going to do what I want to do. And so I feel like I have a big feeling of like, ooh, if I really love this thing, I want other people to also like share and enjoy it. And so I feel like I've been getting into a lot of like things that I've never been into before. Like, Daphne really introduced me to a lot of K-pop, and I love K-pop now. And I do feel like I don't want to tell people sometimes, because it's like, they're like, ooh, K-pop, and I'm like, it's music, like it's just another genre. Like, I don't know what to tell you, and it's also beautiful and varied and as wide a genre as any other category of music. And the same with like like musical theater, or like video game music, or like, you know, backing soundtracks to any media you've ever heard ever. Like, I don't know, I just think it's very close by. Like, some of the best like original soundtracks in things that I've watched, The Mandalorian. I would listen to that by itself.
100%.
It's insanely good. Also, like, stuff like the Tarzan, Phil Collins.
Absolutely.
Why did he go so hard for that? Yeah. Also, Spirit, Stallion of the Cimarron. That original, like, soundtrack is so crazy. Yep. It goes so hard. I think it's one of the best movie soundtracks ever. It's so good. And so I think there's a lot of things that people just like dismiss, either because it's not its own standalone art form. Like, you know, like video game music is like in tandem with the game. And so it's like not always appreciated, because it's, you know,
out of context.
Like, it's part of a whole. Exactly. But I also think there's still a lot of value in it separate from like what it's a part of too. So
I was also gonna say, you talked about people who were maybe dismissing things that aren't mainstream. I also feel like there's a lot of dismissal of things
that are
absolutely
mainstream.
Yes,
100%.
That maybe ticks me off more.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Me too, actually.
Who are like, oh, I only listen to like indie, or I only listen to this guy that you don't know who it is, and I'm like, oh my god, just listen to Ariana.
Grow up and put on a
Beyonce album.
So true.
Like, I can't, like, acting like pop music isn't good. I'm like, there's a reason why it's
popular.
There's a reason why it's groovy and fun and upbeat. Like, you're
and
not
why
cool
people
because
like
you
it.
Listen to the same Frank Ocean song on repeat.
Well, I'm cool because I listen to the same Frank Ocean song on repeat.
I was also just hearing about like Frank Ocean set at Coachella a couple years ago. Do you remember that?
Insane.
That man actually is so crazy.
Yeah,
I would like to live inside his brain for
a lot of past Coachella performances, because like some of them are crazy. And also, I just realized, like, thinking about how Lady Gaga was the first woman headliner.
What?
Yeah.
No way. I'm googling that right now,
because I know that Beyonce was the first Black woman headliner, and I think the year before her was Lady Gaga, and I think
the
she was
year
the
before,
and I think that might have been first woman.
No.
Headliner.
Let me look. Let me Google.
Yeah, Google fact check that one. Anyway, Coachella did happen recently, to all our listeners. Sabrina Carpenter performed Espresso, and it was amazing and beautiful.
So
who else was headliners? Lana Del Rey. She looked gorgeous.
Bjork in 2007.
Oh, you know what? That might be true. Bjork was the only person before Lady Gaga, I think.
Yeah, I think that might be right. It says, let's see. Remembering the only other time a woman headlined Coachella, Bjork.
Yeah.
So Lady Gaga didn't headline?
I thought Lady Gaga headlined the year before Beyonce.
Let me look up.
So it could have been Bjork, and then Lady Gaga, and then Beyonce.
What? Frank Ocean didn't perform Weekend 2. Did they bring in Lady Gaga?
No, I think they brought in The Weeknd.
No, they brought in a girl, I think.
No.
Yeah. No.
No. I don't think so.
Who replaced Frank Ocean for Weekend 2 of Coachella?
I don't remember. Let me remember that.
Type that in.
I'm typing it in.
I'm still looking up Lady Gaga. Yeah. Okay.
Frank Ocean Coachella weekend too.
Lady Gaga to headline Coachella in Beyonce's absence.
No, yeah, that was the year before Beyonce performed.
Oh.
Beyonce had her her babies the year before, and that's why she couldn't perform.
Got it.
So she would have been the second woman.
Yeah. Now she'll make history when she performs at the Coachella Valley Music Festival, marking a decade since a solo woman has been billed as a headliner, which was Bjork. Okay.
Solo woman.
Yeah.
Woman.
Beyonce had been slated but backed out because she's pregnant. Yep. Okay. Got it. Wow. Okay.
Did you ever find out, Thomas?
I'm looking. Says this spot will be taken by Blink-182. I don't know if that's true, though.
I don't know.
I was going to say about the mainstream.
Yeah, Blink-182.
Okay.
For those of you that don't know, so I'm going to just do a little excerpt. Frank Ocean performed at Coachella 2023. Was it last year?
Yeah, I think it was last year.
Last year.
Sure.
Yeah, it was. Wow.
The fact that you started with 2000 made me feel like, oh, this is years ago. What are we talking about?
2023. And it was his first performance in years. So a lot of Frank Ocean fans were very, very excited and bought tickets to Coachella just to see Frank Ocean.
Yeah.
And he ended up coming out onto the stage like an hour and a half late. And then performed, like, what, 3 or 4 songs, but, like, didn't even really face the audience and was, like, kind of, like, mumbling the whole time. Like,
literally.
Like, a really, really bad performance. And then he was like, shit, guys, they're telling me it's curfew. I gotta go.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then, of course, he wasn't invited back for weekend 2.
Well, sure not. Yeah.
They said, actually, somebody get Blink-182 on the phone.
That is so funny.
No, literally.
But that's what we were talking about.
Honestly, respect.
Yeah.
Okay, Faith, back to you.
Well, I was going to say, because you guys were talking about how it's annoying when people are like, mainstream music isn't that cool. And I think you're absolutely right. And I also feel like a lot of time, pet peeve of mine. When people present their opinions as cold, hard facts, like, you think that because you don't like something, it's not good. I instantly have no respect for your opinions.
Yes.
Because it makes me see that you either don't understand other people's perspectives, or you don't respect them, or both,
or you don't care.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you just, you have no, you don't care about what other people's experiences are.
Because
I also feel like there's plenty of music and like media that I don't care for, but I don't think that makes it bad.
Yeah,
and I don't think that makes it not worthy of
to,
like, status as art.
Yeah.
To house, not house music, what's the EDM?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. EDM. Do I listen to EDM? No, not really. Maybe I have like one Skrillex song that I'm like, yes, this is my hype music. But like, I'm not a fan. Do I think that all EDM is shit and I hate it?
Yeah.
Yes.
No. Absolutely. I do.
And am I wrong for that? No.
You guys, stop. No, okay. Faith doesn't like country. Well, she likes a little bit of country, but
yeah,
she does not like...
I think my taste is a specific subgenre of country that isn't very like
pop
big
pop. You don't
know? Well, okay, I do like pop country. I think
you like pop country. Since when? Name one pop country song.
I probably can't. Well, I thought you were trying to say that
before
I did.
He cheats, but
no,
That's
I'm saying Faith listens to like a specific type of country. I enjoy, I feel like, most types of country.
Yeah, I would
agree
with that.
Old, I like new, I like women and men artists. I like everything.
I think that's what it is. I listen to a lot of women.
But does
over
Faith
men.
Think that country music sucks? No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I don't.
I
actually.
But that's the thing is that
it's like, no, it's still a great. It's still valid because I just think that I believe in music.
Well, and also Faith has her own little like part of that genre that she enjoys.
Yeah.
Which is also fun. I feel like I have little parts of other genres.
I think everyone can find what they want
in anything.
In every. Yeah.
That's what I agree. I like. And I think that about everything. I feel like even in the types of genres that I wouldn't usually go for, I can still
find
things that I
like,
because I also just feel like, you know, as Miss Linda Martell says herself, genres are a funny little concept, aren't they? And like, it's true. Like, it's a way to categorize things and make things easier to find in the huge big wide world of music, because there's just so much out there. But it also doesn't have to like rigidly define any kind of music.
Exactly.
Like, I think, you know what's so fun? I love seeing like genre swap stuff, like when people like re-record, like actually today there's this guy on TikTok, I need to find his username, but he did a cover of Bring Me to Life by Evanescence, but it's like bossa nova, it's like bossa nova elevator music, like it's so good. You guys, like it's crazy, and it's a completely different song, like it's the same, like he uses the vocals and then he like plays instruments over it, and it's crazy how much just like tweaking like timing and like instrumentals makes an entirely new song. Peter has like, I think Peter actually has real eclectic music taste. Like, I feel like some people are like, yeah, my music taste is so different. But, like, Peter actually has, like, he also has a huge playlist of, like, thousands of songs that, like, his roommate in college made that he listens to all the time. And it's everything that you could imagine. Like, he's, I love it for him. And he's listened to a couple songs. I think one of them is, what's the song from Encanto that's Luisa? And it's the strong, she's the strong... What's it called? Pressure? Under Pressure?
Under Pressure.
Under Pressure is different. No, that's Queen. Pressure? Whatever it is, that song. And there's a cover of it by some like heavy metal band. And it goes real hard. And it's really good. And I think like my dad found something else that was like a screamo version of Hello by Adele. And it's just like, this is insane. But also...
Love it.
Fantastic. Yeah. And I think it shows also like how much any song that you make ever... can always be
something different.
Something different. Because, any song that you can think of, you know, I don't know. Music is a very fluid medium, I just think. And I think that you can kind of write that. I got it in the box. And so, I just think anytime that somebody's like, yeah, this is bad, it's like, okay, is it bad or you just don't like it?
Yeah.
Is it bad or it's just not for you? I don't know. I think that's important.
Or have you just not listened to it 20 times?
Today? Yeah, exactly.
Is it not on repeat?
Yeah.
Right? If you listen to it anything enough, you'll like it.
It's
that's,
true.
Maybe and it's also, the opposite, but that's what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but no, and I also think there's like something to be said for like, just because it's like popular also doesn't mean that it's like perfect and wonderful and everyone's going to love it. I don't know. I just think there's a lot of like different ways. It goes both ways, but I do think it's more obnoxious when people are like, whatever. I'm not
we joke about EDM and stuff, but it's like, I can still see that like it has effects on people. And I can tell that it takes a lot of work to like create a set like that.
Absolutely.
And especially when it's like attached to visuals and concepts, it's like, it's absolutely dope.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also think there's so much to be said for like contextualizing stuff because. Yeah, like when you hit play on a song on your phone, it's like, yeah, this is so easy. I'm just listening to it. And you're not always getting the full, like, process of, like, what it took to make it and, like, how people, like, put it all together and how much time it took. And so it is cool to see, like, when people are putting together something because I feel like it's really, sometimes it can be easy to see, like, ooh, that's bad. Like, someone put together a bad set, the, like, tempos are off, the transitions aren't good or whatever. And it can be harder to appreciate when something is good because you kind of,
it's so seamless.
It's so seamless. And also, like, you kind of take it for granted that it will be good. So I feel like sometimes it's easier to see when things are bad because it's not what you are expecting. But when it's good, it's easy to not praise it because it is good. And so that's, like, the baseline. Yeah. Does that make sense?
No, of course.
Okay, cool.
Do you want me to go on to my next pet peeve?
Okay. Then I have one, too. Yeah.
Moving on.
Not music related. My next pet peeve.
When people don't round up for Venmo transactions, which I did talk about with Faith a little bit.
Yeah.
But I feel like don't send me like $17.79. Like grow up and send me $18.
Yeah.
I also think that if somebody is offering to put down their card to get the sum of money charged to them, say it's like $70 or something, I also think like throw in a $1 service fee.
Yeah, period.
Know. Like, I just feel like, I mean, I think our group is good about paying each other back and Venmoing and covering the next meal or whatever. But I also just think, like, please don't, like, Venmo request me $15.80. Like, I'm like, seriously. And I had an old friend that used to do that, and it was terrible.
Yeah.
And, like, all's to say, we're not friends anymore.
Yeah. And it's because she was a shitty Venmo requester.
No,
no, but I think it is, like, like, I know that when I had, like, roommates in college, like, one of us, like, paid for the Wi-Fi and one of us did this and one of us did that. And so then, like, that was split up and it was, like, oh, yeah, $14.75 a month. And that was fine because it was, like, down to the cent. Like, we knew what the bill was. Yeah, the bills are different. But I also do think, yeah, like, if somebody's putting down their card, because me personally, like, if I'm putting my card down, I'm, like, doing the math to see, like, who got what and, like, what the – or we're all splitting it even. I'll see what it is. But it's also, like, I don't always – take my receipt with me. So it's like, maybe I don't know how much tax was.
Yeah.
So it's also like, I kind of always feel like, yeah, I'll just eat a couple bucks.
Add a few extra dollars.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I just feel like I always expect to like eat a couple bucks because I'm not necessarily requesting like perfectly the right amount. So it is nice when somebody decides to round up.
Because I'm like, oh, not me actually getting paid back.
Yeah.
Right? That's what exactly. I think. Things are always more expensive than you think.
Mm-hmm. It's
just
true.
Like, give your friend the extra dollar.
Yeah.
Seriously. Or use cash to tip or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I do love a cash tip for
Thank
people.
You. Me too.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it for mine.
Okay, can I share mine? This one is like not only a pet peeve, but also like dangerous. People with those insanely bright LED headlights on the road. Listen, I don't road rage, okay? I'm not an angry driver. I'm not an angry person, really. But that lights a fire in me that nothing can put out. Like, I was driving home one time, and so as I mentioned before, so I play D&D at Eve's house, and Eve lives in Long Beach. And so I drive home from Long Beach, like, every week. And I'm always driving home, like, pretty late because we have, like, a long session, and then I'm driving home in the dark. And usually the freeways are pretty open. But one time I was driving back and, like, I was driving, like, you know, normal, like, midnight speed on the freeway, right? And there's this huge car, like, right behind me. And not, like, tailgating because they're, like, in the lane next to me or whatever. But they were just at the right angle that their headlights were blinding me in my side view mirror. And it was nasty. It was so nasty. I was like, I can't do this anymore. So I, like, get into the next lane over. So now there's a whole lane in between us. It's still in my mirrors.
Oh, my God.
It was terrible. So I was like, all right, 80 miles per hour because I got to get out of this. And so I just, like, sped up and, like, got out of the way because it was nasty.
Yeah.
It's, like, blinding. It's, like, actually, this is hazardous.
I hate that.
What do you need to see so bad?
Yeah.
Like, I've got my headlights on, and y'all, it's fine. I drive a 94 Camry, okay? Those lights, I probably couldn't read by the lights that are on my on my
car.
What
I think about mine
but
too.
You know what I can do? I can drive.
I'm like, are they on? I think they're on.
No, and it's like, I can see what I need to see. And also, like, there's street lights and lights on the highway.
Yeah, we
like,
live in California.
We live in California.
You're on, like, the 605.
Yeah.
Grow up.
No, grow up.
Turn off your lights.
Turn off your light. Also, because every time, also, my car is kind of low to the ground because it's a Camry. So it's like, if your lights are on, they're shining in my face, okay? And so I don't want to be blinded just to try to get home. And if your regular lights are high beams... No, I'm killing you in my mind, actually. I'm running you over. I'm actually going to slam my brakes on in front of you.
Good.
That's a big pet peeve for me. Personally.
That's all I got, I think.
Really?
Really?
My other...
Pet peeve?
Pet peeve, funny enough, was road rage.
Oh, period.
Actually, I got another one.
Put that on the list. Write that down.
Like, when people are getting so mad over somebody, like, needing to merge, I'm like...
Oh, my God.
Get
First
over
of all,
yourself.
Where am I
Get
supposed
over
to go?
It.
Where
Let
am
me
I
in.
Supposed to go? There's no lane here.
Yeah.
I have to merge.
Yeah.
I'm not being annoying and like that person that rides the exit only lane all the way to the end and then they
and then
go
gets
in.
Out. Dude,
that
I actually had that
crazy.
This morning. I was driving to work today and
it happens
was,
to me every day.
There was road work, like over by the freeway, over by Canes. You know?
Yes.
And I was like, because it was like in between the intersections, right? And so like I see up ahead that it's coned off and there's a light with arrows say go into the left lane, right? So I stop. I'm like waiting because, you know, there's no one ahead of me, like whatever. I'm just going to try to get in here. And this car is behind me and like I stop. I like have my blinker on. They go around me and drive all the way down to where the cones are to try to get in up there. And I'm like, oh, you're actually the worst kind of person. Mm. You're actually going to the lowest circle of hell for that.
People who do that, they think like, oh, I'll save a minute.
No, you won't. Because you know what? You know where I saw him? At the very next red light, babe.
But
every
also,
time.
They don't understand that they're the ones that are making traffic so bad.
So bad.
You're the reason everything's slowing down because instead of merging back there when it was wide open, you're driving half a mile ahead and making things worse for everybody who's already
up there. Exactly.
I hate that.
It's so annoying. And also just, people who think they're the only person on the road. And so it's like, I actually only care about me.
So mad. And also living in Southern California, as we do, We are driving all the time, and we're driving with crazy people all the time. So you simply cannot have road rage.
Yeah.
You can't. Like, it doesn't make sense. It's not sustainable.
That's right. We talked about this. It's not, you just got to let it go. You like, do.
You can't. Like, if you live in Southern California
you can't live
you
like
have
this.
Road rage.
You can't live like
no,
this.
No, you can't do that. I'm sorry. Sorry. No. That's not going to work. The other thing specifically about road rage, if you have road rage, and I'm in your car.
Ooh, scary.
And you're yelling and flipping people off and getting
let me out right
so
here. I'll
angry.
I'll walk. Ooh.
No, actually, what is up with that?
No, it's crazy. Yeah.
Like, actually, you can't live like that. Seriously. You know what? You're going to encounter stupid drivers every day.
No, exactly.
That's
because that's just the nature of driving.
So you have guys, to let it go. You have to.
You guys, Eve's ex-boyfriend, going to expose right now. Eve's ex-boyfriend, not necessarily road rager, but just the probably worst driver I have ever seen. I was in the car with them.
Not even a bad road rager. Just calling him out for being a bad driver.
Yes, because it was scary, bro. It was so scary. I was in their car one time. Me and Eve had like met up to like have dinner, and their boyfriend like joined, and we had like parked in this parking structure, and then they like picked us up to like go and like drive around and then come back, and it was the most insane driving experience of my life. And I was in the back of the car, holding on for dear life, to be honest. They drove so fast. Every corner that this man took was like a Looney Tunes car. Like, the physics of it were like, it was the craziest thing ever. And I remember getting out of the car after, like, at the, he dropped us off at the parking structure to get our cars. And he dropped us off. And when I saw him drive down the street and turn away, it was like watching a cartoon. Oh, I don't know gosh. How real life. He sped down and turned around the corner like, I can't even describe it. It was like it was animated. I can't believe a car could move like that
did
in real life.
Did you guys go on a road trip together?
Yes. Yes, indeed. He did not drive.
Okay,
he didn't really. He didn't
say,
drive.
Hold on.
No, he didn't drive. And also, like, we pretend, we actually talk about this all the time because it was me, Eve, and Roman, and Eve's boyfriend.
Yeah.
And we talk all the time about that road trip that just the three of us, me, Eve, and Roman took.
Good.
Exactly.
Love. That's crazy.
Yeah. That road trip that just the three of us were on. It was wonderful. Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah. Okay.
That's my last pet peeve, I think. Mm. Faith, do you have anything else?
Probably, but I don't think I can think of anything.
Yeah,
right now.
I think that's enough.
That's
negativity.
Enough.
That was a lot.
Yeah. That's enough.
I don't know. Do we have
I watch people. Have you heard of a podcast called I've Had It?
I think so, yes.
They've had a lot
and
of.
And I think we've talked about it on this podcast before.
Oh, okay. I feel like I watch them and it's very cathartic
it's
to hear people let go of the stuff that they've had it with and like just talk about it to get it through. I feel like it's kind of hard for me to do that. And I think I realized it when you're like, okay, stop trying to justify it or whatever. But like, I do think I always try to justify everything. I can't just be like, that made me mad.
Yeah. And that's important because I feel like another thing that I learned off TikTok is like intellectualizing your feelings. And it's like,
which we've talked about this a lot too.
Which we talked about this. And it's like, for anyone who isn't familiar with that listening, it's kind of the idea that it's like you're very self-aware. It's like you know what you're feeling and you know what's going on. But instead of just sitting with the feeling, you're like, oh, it's fine. Like, I know how I feel and it'll be fine later. And like, I understand it. And so you just kind of dismiss it. It's just another way to dismiss like
and
an emotion.
Also rationalizing. Like,
I think we've talked about this on the podcast, haven't we?
I don't think so.
I feel like
we
have.
We briefly touched
on
it.
I think we had
on
season one.
I think so too. Wow. But yeah, I think that it's like,
yeah, rationalizing what other people are doing as well. So that you,
that
maybe your emotions, you're able to like calm down or like switch them a little bit so that you're not feeling as much as you maybe should, you know, kind of like
and
lowering
it's important
your
to,
own.
Yeah. And I think it's good to like, on the one hand, it's good to like be able to rationalize a little bit so that you're not like explosively emotional and like, you know, reacting badly to things that it might be out of proportion for. But at the same time, you do need to like, I think like you said, you need to take 10 minutes for yourself sometimes. You need to like be able to sit down and like not only know what you're going through, but just
feel
like
it.
Go through it, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like I actually had a separate point to make about that, but I have no idea what it was. And I think I think that was it.
Okay. The only thing, I just feel like we have to talk about it because it's kind of weird if we don't.
Okay.
Taylor Swift's new album. I'm sorry.
No, I think you're right. It would be kind of weird if we didn't talk about it.
I just feel like we've talked about
it. Have you guys
Ari's
listened? How much have you guys listened to it?
I listened to
all of it.
To the whole thing.
Okay. I've also only listened to all of it like once all the way through.
Me too.
And then I listened to an album reaction of it all once.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll talk about my favorites, and then I'll talk about maybe why this album is not my favorite.
Period.
My favorites from the album. Oh, it wants me to join your dad's jam.
It does that every time I open Spotify. Shout out, Dad. We love your jams, but we're not joining.
Florida with Florida to the Machine. I like Guilty as Sin. I like The Black Dog and Down Bad.
Okay.
Those are maybe the ones that I like the most.
Nice.
Thomas, do you want to say your favorites?
I Can Do It with a Broken Heart. I like Down Bad. I like Chloe or Sam or Sophia or Marcus.
I actually like that one too.
I like that one, yeah.
I think the one that I liked the most, I Look in People's Windows.
Mm.
I also liked Chloe or Sam or Sophia or Marcus. And I liked Florence's Parts of Florida.
Yeah.
And I think I liked Parts of Guilty as Sin.
Yeah, Guilty as Sin. I would really good. Put it up there.
And to be honest, that might be it for me.
Yeah.
And even then, I don't know that I will listen to this album. I don't think this is going to be a heavy rotation.
I added I Can Do It with a Broken Heart to my summer playlist, and that's it.
Nice.
Yeah. I have talked about it before, but I am a Swiftie. I love Taylor Swift. I love Travis Kelce. But I don't know. Not super impressed with this. Faith, and Thomas have had, they had a long conversation about it the other day over text.
Which we did.
The lore for this album, I feel like, is like what she dated Joe Alwyn for a long time. And then she got back with Maddie Healy after she had been with him before, is what I think I heard.
I don't think
I don't think they ever got back together.
Because I heard that they were together a while ago, and then
I think they had a fling last year, but they weren't on again, off again.
I think the tea is that she thought about Maddie Healy throughout her relationship with Joe Alwyn.
I didn't think they were together before Joe Alwyn, though.
Was Taylor Swift.
Thank you, Google. Google, thank you for sponsoring this video.
Literally.
Not really, but one day.
Rekindled romance with the 1975 Maddie Healy, which first began in 2014 and revived a decade later in the spring of 2023 following her breakup with Joe Alwyn.
Oh, whoa.
So I think some of the songs are about how like she was thinking about Maddie Healy while she was with Joe. And
interesting.
And so for Joe to like have like ruined it at the end, and for her to be like, I was going down on this ship even though I had like my other doubts and stuff like that.
Oh.
And then we all know that Maddie Healy's a bad person, but I do like the arc of someone falling in love with someone who's not good, because it is just this, I want to feel something, I don't want to be bored, but I don't want, like, to have, like, a life that I feel like everyone thinks I should deserve to die. So it's a lot of that, like, figuring out what you should do, and especially being an artist, and it's, like, it's knowing that it's cringy, and it's knowing that it's like, fuck, I feel like a shitty person and I'm dumb, and saying like, you know, I can fix him. No, really, I can. Like, she realizes that she's like following patterns that are not healthy. And I think that it's, I don't know. I liked the concept and the storyline throughout it.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's what I agree with. I think a lot of the lyrics I really like, and I like also them being singled out too, kind of taken away from the rest of the song. But I do agree with Faith in the sense that it is a lot of words.
I think it's a very wordy album. I think what we talked about when we talked about this, me and Rose, like there's not a lot of time in this album that's instrumental. There's not a lot of time where she's not singing or talking, or, you know, that's not lyrically dense. And I think that some of the poetry of it is lost in that sense.
Ironically,
I think like something that, because I've also been watching a lot of like reactions to this, and I feel like I'm really interested in it from a songwriting and like producing point of view, because it is different than I think where she's most comfortable. I think she's sort of like gotten into this vibe that she really likes and enjoys making, but I don't think it's where she shines necessarily.
I agree.
And so I have kind of been like diving into like, ooh, what do people have to say? Well, actually, I haven't even been. TikTok has just been giving me videos, and good. I'm like, yeah, this is fun. And like something specific about her songwriting is that like she loves adjectives. She loves them. And that's fine because sometimes they can be used very well. And I do think that she's a good songwriter and a good lyricist. And don't jump me, but I don't think that shows in this album. I don't think that she is like giving her full artistic ability to this album.
When and I saw somebody I have my... say she should have picked 10 songs to release and then
wrote made a poetry book. Yeah. Well, also because there's just I have my own personal relationship with Taylor that don't feel like I have to go into here.
You don't have to. It's fine.
But I also feel like a lot of the things that I take issue with her were like a huge part of this album. Like, so like you said, right? Like, she dated Matty Healy. Matty Healy's a bad person, and we're all mad at her for dating him. And I think that in something that she does a lot that is one of my bigger, like, gripes with her as a person and as a celebrity is that she kind of has, like, a I'm looking out for me frame of mind just in the way that she behaves in the public eye. I think that a lot of that comes from the fact that she did get a lot of like unnecessary hate and criticism when she was young.
Yeah.
And when she was up and coming as a songwriter and as a performer, she got a lot of hate for like, oh my God, she's just singing about all these boys she dates. And it's like, yeah, like the world isn't full of love songs. So like, why are you coming at her for this?
Yeah.
And I think that maybe not to psychoanalyze Taylor Swift, but I do think that that probably resulted in a lot of defensiveness over her personal life. And so I think that you're right that maybe she kind of had like a, you know, I'm making bad decisions and I just need to like go through making bad decisions. But I do feel like in a lot of her lyrics in this album and like things that she's said and done after the fact too, is that it's very like, yeah, well, it's just my problem if I make a bad decision and it doesn't have to do anything with you. And on the one hand, sure. But also on the other, you're one of the most visible women on the planet. And the things that you do have a huge impact on people. And like, yeah, this guy that you dated, not only is he a loser, but he's also like a bad person and a bigot and like violent. So I don't know if I completely, like, I don't choose to rationalize the fact that you made a bad decision because... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not everyone makes those decisions.
That was very well spoken.
Okay, thank you. I'm trying to be diplomatic because I have my own, like.
I was entranced.
Okay, thank you.
Period.
Thank you.
No, it was really good. Because,
yeah, like, I don't want to send any hate to Swifties or to Miss Swift.
No, I think you said that very well. And I agree. Thank you. I think, yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
nothing you're saying is crazy or, like.
Thank you. Yeah. Because, yeah, it's like, on the one hand, it's like, I do want to say that I have and continue to have a lot of respect for her as an artist. I do feel like I have my trust in her as an artist has gone down a little bit after this album.
Girl, me too.
Because I think that her best work was probably like a lot of her early stuff and a lot of like Folklore and Evermore. I feel like that was where she really shone. And I do think she has a habit of like she wants to reinvent herself and like do all kinds of different things. And that's something else that I respect about her. But this new era,
I don't think it's a good one, Taylor. I don't think it's giving.
It's not giving.
Era.
It's not. I feel like. Oh my God. Can I say something actually kind of like hater? We all know that the Grammys are whatever. Like the Grammys are not the end all be all of what's good in music. And I think it's important that we all know that. However, I am mad that she won the Grammy for Best Album of the Year. Best Album of the Year. I don't think that Midnights deserved it necessarily. I don't think it's a bad album.
And
but
I love Midnights.
Yeah.
Did it deserve Album of the Year?
No. Not over SZA. SZA SOS. Or anyone else in that category, to be honest. I didn't feel that like it deserved it. I think it was a fun album and I listened to it a good amount of times. Yeah. But I was kinda like there were some things in there where I was like, okay.
There's a few
that's not for me.
I agree.
And that's fine.
For sure.
And I feel like somehow she leaned into all the things that I didn't like about Midnights on this album. I'm talking a lot about this, actually.
No, it's okay. I'm glad we talked about it.
I have a lot of thoughts.
I feel like because I was watching it, I was watching a channel called Chastin Reacts. Mm-hmm. I think their name is like Emily and Bonnie.
Yeah, you sent us that video,
listening
right?
Listening to it in a room, or what felt like a room of like Swifties, it was like, okay, they can explain to me the lore of like why they like these lyrics. And it seems like there are a lot of good metaphors if you look out for them and a lot of good concepts in there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember any of them either. Like, I don't have any real grasp of what's going on.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of, well, you guys know me, I like it when women do controversial things.
Yes.
And yeah. Do things that
you love a villain.
Aren't necessarily, not a villain.
You
I
love
just
a
like
woman
someone,
who's a villain.
I like someone who isn't gonna do the same thing that everyone else does.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds like, like, yeah, she's different, but it's more of just like, yeah, like, it's okay if you want to, like, go off and, like, try a relationship with someone that you don't know if it's going to work or not. And that's not necessarily about Maddie Healy, because you shouldn't just go out and date bad people, but...
You shouldn't just go out and date Maddie Healy,
yeah,
period.
In general. But I do think that it is a lot of the same Yes And concept with Ariana Grande. I think she has a song that very much reminded me of Yes And that was like... Girl, why are y'all up in my business? Like, let me do what I want to do. Like, why do the fans have to, like, have a say in, like, what's going on in my life and in everyone else's lives around me when me and my friends know what's good?
Period.
And, again, I don't support Maddie Healy. Like, I don't want this to sound like I'm defending him. I'm just defending Taylor and the fact that it's, like, she has a lyric that's, like, even all my friends saw why we were good for each other because we were both crazy. And it's, like, she sees herself so, like... She sees herself as bad as Maddie Healy that it's, like, that's sad to me. And that part of it does kind of, like, for
we
so long.
We accept the love we think we deserve.
Exactly
period.
That. Shout out 100%.
I also think I...
And I think that that's what a lot of this album felt like to me. It was just, like, her being, like, for a while, this was the love I thought I deserved. And that's what I'm living through and trying to get off my chest and trying to process. And the way that the people that I was watching talked about it was, like, she was thinking about how she was processing her past albums.
Okay.
Which is a very interesting way to put it.
That is interesting. I think the more that I've heard you talk about it, like when we were texting yesterday and talking about it now, I feel like I do have a lot of respect for the concept and for like the, you know, the kind of messages that she's trying to put into the album. I think I just take issue with a lot of the execution, like artistically.
100%. And
stylistically.
That's fair. And again, a lot of
But that's why I'm glad I'm talking to you about it because I feel like I. Like
we looked
am
at
more
it
interested in it. We looked at it differently, and I feel like I'm more interested in it hearing what your reactions to it were because I feel like there's a lot of
stuff
that she talked
like,
about.
I'm not gonna watch that 2-hour video, bitch. It was two parts. I watched it a 4-hour video.
Oh my god, really?
Like, let me be real here. I am like I love watching album reactions.
Listen, well, because you know what I started doing last night is I started reading the lyrics because I wanted to see them like out of like separate from the music too. And I think I got through 6 songs before I had to take a break.
Yeah.
Because
fair.
There's just a lot.
I feel like 6 is a lot.
It was a lot, that's girl. Good. I got tired. But I do feel like it's interesting to hear you talk about it because I feel like she does have a lot of themes that she talks about that you feel like you could relate to or like at least understand. And it's, like, interesting to me because I feel like there's a lot of it that I'm, like, yeah, I, like, understand it or I have had those feelings. But, like, I just would have had a very different reaction to the same situations. And, like, another thing, too, is that I just feel like – so lyrics are big when I'm listening to music. I feel like that's, like, the part of the song that is, like, a, you know, communication in the most, like, clear sense. And so I feel like it's a big thing to like draw me in. And like, that's something that like, even if the song is kind of like, if there's some good lyrics, like that could be it for me sometimes. And the same with music too. Sometimes the lyrics don't have to be good, but the music will draw me in. And I actually had such a good conversation with one of my bosses the other day. She is one of the people who's like, I listen to all kinds of music. And she actually does. Like she genuinely listens to so much music. And we were talking about this album and also, like, tons of other stuff, too. And she was saying that, like, voices are really important to her. And, like, she's not the – she's kind of a closet Swiftie a little bit. Like, she doesn't love Taylor Swift, but there she has her moments.
That's my favorite kind of person, I think.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And I think –
That's my favorite kind of Swiftie.
Exactly. And I think she was saying that, like, a big thing for her is, like, she loves listening to, like, Adele and Lady Gaga. And, like, she wants, like, a soulful voice and, like, a big voice. And Taylor's – doesn't necessarily carry that weight, and not that she necessarily couldn't, but that's just not what she does in her music
which
either.
Makes me mad because she has
such
to
do
a
it.
Good voice and she's singing like this all the time.
Let me tell you something.
And I'm like,
that's
girl,
fair, yeah.
I thought that it was we so when we were singer. Listening to Evermore. I think it's in Dorothea, and she really gets into her lower register. She really kills
she's
in there.
So good.
She has a really good lower register. I think for a long time she was very influenced by the pop girlies, and she was trying to be a soprano when she's not a soprano. But that's neither here nor there. My point was that I think there's like, you know, the elements of like lyric and voice and then also like music. And I think if one doesn't pull the weight for me, I want the other one to. And I didn't feel that either of those were particularly strong. But something that I thought of when you were talking earlier, is that like the lore and like all the metaphors and like all the stuff that pertains to her own real life, I feel like her intended audience and the audience that receives it the best, that it is made for, is Swifties, purely, pure and simple. Because I think there's so much that she does to like work in like Easter eggs and tricks and like lyrics that pertain to things that, you know, Swifties know about. I think that it's all like a treasure hunt in a game. And I do respect that because I think that's fun and artistic. As a businesswoman, she knows how to get that bag. And so I think that's like a cool concept. But I also think that like that's why she's like such a big artist and not necessarily, I don't even know what I'm trying to say. I think like, I think that she's big because Swifties are loyal and they adore her. But I also think that that's why she's not necessarily as huge outside of those spaces, if that makes sense. Like, I think anyone you talk to on the street would know her name, but not necessarily everyone would like know many of her songs beyond like Shake It Off.
Well, I feel like that's not true because we've talked about how like the thing about Taylor Swift is at this point she has so much music that you'll find a lot of good music in it.
Yeah, but I just mean that I don't think that people are necessarily inclined to do that research and like dig into it.
You don't think a lot of people know a lot of Taylor Swift songs though?
Depends.
I think most people probably do. And I think it's actually funny because I was talking to someone, or maybe I was just listening to a stream where someone was like, yeah, you'll find Swifties, they come out of the woodwork, like, when a new album comes out.
I do think that she just
everybody
has such
knows at least, you know, like, the pop songs and stuff like that.
That's what I mean. Like, I do think that, like, people, I mean, yeah, she's, like, on the radio. She's, you know, she's
it's like saying
visible.
Like,
she's highly visible. Yeah. But I also just think that she's
you're
not necessarily.
You're saying it's because they're so loyal, but I think there's also just so many Swifties, too. A lot of people do like her music.
I think that's true, but I also think that there's a lot of casual, like, listeners and enjoyers. Mm. And I think that that doesn't translate into, like, a wider audience,
yeah,
necessarily.
You don't think
because
that they're
going
to listen to Torture Poets?
No.
Department.
That's not really.
Would argue.
I think that if I think anyone who's like a new Swiftie or like a casual Swiftie listening to this album would be put off by it.
Yeah.
To be honest.
What do you think, Chris?
Oh, well, I also was going to argue that she has been around for so long and done so many different types of music, like ballads and pop and country and everything, that I also think that people are interested and then maybe they're not interested and then they come back. So I also think that I agree with Thomas that I think people do know more Taylor Swift than just her pop songs, because I think in one season of life,
you've probably been a Swiftie.
You've
probably
known an album really well, more so than just like the pop songs.
Yeah,
and
I
that's true
that.
About that,
because
I actually don't know if I agree with what you were saying, because it's like, it is different though, and this album does feel like it's coming from a different aura or atmosphere, and I do think that some new Swifties will probably attach to it.
Probably. I mean, like we said before, like, different people have different tastes, and that's why I'm not saying that, like, I think the whole thing is terrible, because I don't. Like, I think there's, you know, there are songs that I said that I liked, and there's also a lot of work into it that I appreciate and respect. And I also think that other people are going to feel exactly the same way. And
especially, like, now that she's attaching herself with, like, Lana Del Rey and stuff like that. I do see, like, a lot of that. It's going to, like, maybe move that way in sort of that direction.
Yeah, and I think that I do respect the fact that she knows how to pivot, for sure. Like, she knows how to create different stuff. Mm-hmm. But I also feel like that's maybe why, like, yeah, she's a global phenomenon, but I also feel like that's maybe why she has, like, Swifties, and then she has, like, there's, like, casual people who, like, just don't turn the radio when she comes on, because I feel like there's people who have listened to every single song, and then there's people who, like, I don't know, I stick to my
assessment that I think
that there are a lot of people who maybe have just heard her radio hits and don't care to dive in, because you know how when someone says, like, oh, you should watch this show, it's 12 seasons.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into all that. So there could be, like, you should listen to Taylor Swift. Oh, where do I start? Oh, well, she's got, like, 13 studio albums,
well,
and then she's got all her re-releases.
31 songs.
And actually, she just came out with a 3-hour album. Yeah. Like, I feel like sometimes the sheer volume of it can be off-putting.
That's true.
And I also think, period. I also just think that, like, because it is so varied, like, from album to album, someone may not want to put in all the time and effort to be like, okay, I listened to everything, but I didn't like this album, but I did like this one. And
true. It's crazy to hear you say that it'll turn them off, though, because I feel like I'm a casual Swiftie.
Yeah.
Taylor Swiftie.
I
and I'm the one that and this album actually, like, kind of like my ears were, like, popped towards it. So it's like, it's
and see, that's just
that,
another way that we have different tastes too. Because I
and everyone's gonna have different tastes.
Yeah, because I think even outside of that, like, let's, like, ignoring the fact that it's Taylor Swift, I also think just musically, this will attract different kinds different, of people, yeah. too. Yeah.
I have to go to family dinner.
Period.
Oh, shit, yeah.
We've been, oh, my God. I might have to cut some of this. We're at 81 gathering. Minutes, babe.
Oh, that's perfect. I like that length.
Okay, period.
We usually do about an hour. I listen to, like, an hour and a half podcast.
Okay.
Yeah, slay. That's good.
All right.
Just cut out my sneeze.
Yeah.
I'll cut out your sneeze. And
that'll
I might,
take out 10
I might
minutes
cut out
sure.
some of my soliloquies in here about
yeah.
some of my sniffling.
Don't yeah. cut out anything I've ever put out.
Okay, period.
I want the people to hear me.
I will make
wow.
sure your voice is heard.
I'm glad I brought Thank up that you. Album because we had a lot to
Why
say.
Why did we have a lot to say? That's
I don't
crazy.
Know. I was ready to say, like, I don't have a lot to say.
Yeah.
Well, because once I off. Just listened to a reaction or just listened to some sort of review, then I do have a lot of thoughts. And
yeah.
when we didn't review Cowboy Carter, like, right after, I was like, oh, shit, I forgot everything that I wanted to say.
That's
already.
Real. That's real.
But, yeah, good thing that we did talk about it quickly then, I guess. Or, like, mm-hmm. early.
Yeah.
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 Oh, we didn't even talk about our summer bucket list.
Our bucket
oh,
list.
Oh, yeah. And
well,
I also had other stuff
well, it's not
I've
even
been
summer
wanting to
yet,
talk
so
about.
We've got future weeks.
We have
yeah.
all the time in the world.
All kinds of stuff, yeah.
Just
stay
time.
Tuned for our summer bucket list.
Exactly.
Stay tuned for our summer bucket list. Stay tuned for more music reviews coming your way.
Yeah.
And we love you.
Love you.